of the same name, Above and Beyond. In the coming weeks, we'll be sending out to you a brochure that lays out in print form what we've been sharing with you in this series so far from the pulpit. The church, just to remind you of where we've been, the church voted a year ago, a little over a year ago, to move forward with the elders' vision for facility relocation. One of the distinctives of our church, one of the distinctive strengths of our church, is that we are a church that highly values Christian education, Bible teaching, Bible training, discipleship in the Scriptures. This Christian education takes the form on Sunday mornings, largely of our Sunday schools, our adult Sunday school classes. We call them adult Bible fellowships, as well as our children's Sunday school classes. We have and are blessed with fabulous, faithful teachers who week after week teach our children God's Word systematically, taking them through and teaching them the sweep of the Scriptures and pointing them to Christ in all of the Scriptures. Furthermore, we have solid and committed adult teachers for our adult classes too. And again, I hear people comment when they visit our church about how great our Sunday school classes are, both for children and for adults. And our participation level in those classes backs that up. Over 70% of the people who attend a Sunday morning worship service here at Austin Bluffs also attend a Sunday morning children's Sunday school or adult Bible fellowship. And that is an amazing statistic. In a day when many churches have altogether discontinued their Sunday morning adult Sunday schools or children's Sunday school, it's an amazing level of participation for our own church. And you're to be commended for your desire to further learn and grow and fellowship through participation in one of these classes. This is definitely one of our church's greatest strengths, and it's part of what makes our church our church. It's part of what makes Austin Bluffs Austin Bluffs. But this high level of participation in our Sunday morning Christian education classes is really the crux of the challenge that is before us. And it's really the driving force behind Above and Beyond and the desire for us to relocate. With 70% of the people attending classes on Sunday mornings, in addition to everyone else who's taking part in our Sunday services, this means that most of us are here at the same time, during the same hours. This means that our building and our parking lot are being fully utilized on Sunday mornings. It means that at certain times throughout the morning, there are no parking spots available. It means that our foyer is, especially during those passing periods, typically noisy and overcrowded. It means that all of our classrooms are being used, and many of them are either currently or at or near capacity. Now, we're grateful for the growth that our church has experienced over the years, but we also realize there is really no more room to grow where we are. Should this just be our new normal? Should we say, well, this is just the way it is, and it's the way it will always be for our church? Well, we don't think so. We believe we should make room for new people. We should make room for more ministry. And that will mean we need to make room for more parking, for more foyer fellowship, room for more classes and more people to attend classes. We wish we could do all of that right here on this property, but we can't. We are landlocked on these 3 acres with really no room to grow. Now, we've tried just about everything we know to do, including trying 3 services. Again, just to remind you that the main problem that we're experiencing is not in this room. You look around, you say, well, there's plenty of room here. I don't see what the problem is. Well, part of the reason there's room here is because we've gone to 3 services, which has created more space in our sanctuary. But the sanctuary was never really the pinch point. The pinch point's always been the parking lot. The pinch point's always been our classrooms, our bathrooms, our foyer, our nursery, those other common areas used by the church. We've tried just about everything, including these three services. We do think three services has helped a little bit to alleviate some of the parking issues. But we also realize that three services isn't really sustainable in the long run. It puts a significant strain upon many of our current volunteers, all of those who help to support the services and the ministries that take place on Sunday mornings. It puts a significant strain on them, as well as it increases the number of volunteers that are regularly needed to sustain and support these services on Sunday mornings. So all of that to say, this is why the issue of relocation continues to be brought before you. And that is why we're talking about above and beyond right now. Our desire is to relocate in order that we might be able to reach more people for the Lord, both in current ministry as well as for ministry in decades to come. And so one of the first steps in this process we're seeking to do is to raise $1 million. $1 million that will be used toward facility relocation. Now, the encouraging part of that is that we already have about a third of that saved up, as we've been saving for this for several years now. So we're seeking to raise, really the amount is $650,000, because we already have about $350,000 saved. $650,000 to reach our initial goal of $1 million. All of this can seem overwhelming. Raising funds, raising $1 million can seem overwhelming. Finding just the right property, selling our current facility, making the move, all the transitional steps involved can seem absolutely overwhelming. In fact, it can seem too big. But that is why we need to remember the verse that serves as the theme to this campaign from Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, which says that God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. God is able. Nothing is too difficult for Him. There are many things in life that might seem too difficult, too far out, too big. But nothing is too big for the Lord. And we as believers need to continually remind ourselves of that truth. And so we're asking that our church unite around three actions, as we've seen: to believe, to pray, and to give. Believe, first of all, believe that God is able, that is the God we serve, and that God has proven Himself able in history again and again and again. Resist the temptation to become cynical and to look with a jaundiced eye at big visions. Resist the temptation to say, it's never going to happen. It's impossible. Forget it. You're kidding yourself. We as a church should trust God and believe that He is able to do this for us. Next, we're asking you to pray. To pray that God will do it. To believe that God can do it, and to pray and ask Him to do it. Pray that God will give us wisdom as leaders and as a church. Pray that God will unite our hearts together and protect us from disunity. Pray that God will give us a heart for others, a heart for new people, a heart that looks beyond our own comfort. Well, I've got a parking space. I'm fine. Pray that God would supply the needed funds in His timing. Pray for those who haven't found our church yet. Pray that God would work out all the details and the timing. pray that in the process of all of this, God would make us as a church more dependent upon Him, more hungry for Him. Pray, pray, pray. Pray at home. Pray at work. Pray at the dinner table. Pray in your Sunday school class. Pray in your life group. Pray in your Bible studies. Pray, 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 and ask God to do this for us. And now this morning, we're going to ask you to give. Yes, I said it. We want you to give toward this. No need to apologize for it. For as we'll see this morning, this is how God has almost always chosen to advance and support gospel ministry, through the faithful, generous, and sacrificial giving of His people. This is God's means, more often than not, this is God's means for accomplishing His purposes. It's through the active contributions of His people, giving to meet needs as they become known. So we're going to look at that. We're going to survey the scriptures a little bit and see a couple of instances, a couple of examples where indeed God used the faithful, generous, sacrificial giving of His people to meet present needs. Let's pray, first of all. Heavenly Father, we come before You and acknowledge that You are the God who is able, able to do far above and beyond all that we could ask or even think. Lord, we believe that even as we say, help our unbelief. Increase our faith, Lord. Father, I pray that we would, as a church, come before You and knock on the door and ask of You that You would make this happen for us. We desire this, Lord, not for our own glory, but for Yours, that we might serve You better. This, we believe, is Your path for us. We pray, Lord, that You would make it happen. We pray, Lord, that You would make it so. We pray, Lord, that You would use us to accomplish Your purposes. And Lord, we ask that You would put it on the hearts of Your people to give toward this end. Lord, that we might be able to eventually relocate where we could have a ministry base that would serve us well for decades to come, that would allow us to expand to the degree that You provide. We pray this, Lord, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When large needs arise, God most often uses the generous giving of His people to meet that need. Let's look at a few different passages this morning which illustrate this point. First of all, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 35. Genesis, first book of the Bible, Exodus, verse 35, or chapter 35, Exodus 35. When large needs arise, the Lord uses the generous giving of His people most often to meet that need. Exodus 35. The building of the tabernacle, that's where we are. God's people, the Hebrews, Israel, have been delivered out of 400 years of Egyptian slavery. They are making their way to the promised land, and God, along the way, commands them to build a tabernacle. A tabernacle which would serve as the resting place of God's presence among His people, as well as the center of the entire sacrificial system, which pointed forward to the Messiah who was to come, Jesus Christ, who would take away the sins of the world. So God calls them to build this tabernacle, this collapsible structure that could be moved as the people of God moved and made their way through the desert to the promised land. How were they going to build it? What would they use? How would they finance it? How would they make it possible? Exodus 35, look with me at verse 4. Moses spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded, saying, take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze, and blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat's hair, etc. And he goes through and lists all the different contributions that could be made. Now skip down to verse 20. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel departed from Moses' presence. Everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting and for all its services and for the holy garments. Then all whose hearts moved them, both men and women, came and brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and bracelets, all articles of gold. So did every man who presented an offering of gold to the Lord. Every man who had in his possession blue and purple and scarlet material and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins, dyed red and porpoise skins, brought them. Everyone who could make a contribution of silver and bronze brought the Lord's contribution. And every man who had in his possession acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the skilled women spun with their hands and brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet material and in fine linen. All the women whose hearts stirred with a skill spun the goat's hair. The rulers brought the onyx stones and the stones for setting for the ephod and for the breastpiece, and the spice and the oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. The Israelites, all the men and women whose heart moved them to bring material for all the work which the Lord had commanded through Moses to be done, brought a freewill offering to the Lord. Now, skip to chapter 36, just the next page or so, and verse 3. The skilled workmen received from Moses all the contributions which the sons of Israel had brought to perform the work in the construction of the sanctuary, and they still continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. And all the skillful men who were performing all the work of the sanctuary came each from the work which he was performing. And they said to Moses, "The people are bringing much more than enough for the construction work which the Lord commanded us to perform." So Moses issued a command, and a proclamation was circulated throughout the camp, saying, "Let no man or woman any longer perform work for the contributions of the sanctuary." Thus the people were restrained from bringing any more, for the material they had was sufficient and more than enough for all the work to perform it. When a large need arose, God used the generous, sacrificial giving of his people to meet the need, and more than meet the need. What a great testament to God's plan, to God's provision through his people. Let's turn to another example. 1 Chronicles 29. Here we have the building of the temple. So the tabernacle was the portable structure. The temple, having now the children of Israel settled within Israel and taken the promised land, now they're going to build a temple for the Lord, a permanent structure. That's what we find in 1 Chronicles 29. Look with me, beginning in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 20. Then King David said to the entire assembly, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is still young and inexperienced, and the work is great. For the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now with all my ability, I have provided for the house of my God the gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, and the wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and inlaid stones, stones of antimony, and stones of various colors, and all kinds of precious stones, and alabaster in abundance. Moreover, in my delight in the house of my God, the treasure I have of gold and silver, I give to the house of my God over and above all that I have already provided for the holy temple, namely 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the buildings of gold for the things of gold and of silver for the things of silver, that is, for all the work done by the craftsmen Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Then the rulers of the fathers' households and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the commanders of the thousands and of hundreds with the overseers over the king's work offered willingly. And for the service for the house of God, they gave 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold and 10,000 talents of silver and 18,000 talents of brass and 100,000 talents of iron. Whoever possessed precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord in care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly, for they made their offering to the Lord with a whole heart, and King David also rejoiced greatly. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners before you, and tenants, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house, and for your holy name, it is from your hand, and all is yours. Since I know, O my God, that you try the heart and delight in uprightness, I, in the integrity of my heart, have willingly offered all these things. So now with joy, I have seen your people who are present here make their offerings willingly to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, preserve this forever in the intentions of the heart of your people and direct their heart to you. And give to my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do them all and to build the temple for which I have made the provision. Then David said to all the assembly, "Now bless the Lord your God." And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed low and did homage to the Lord and to the king. When a large need arose among God's people, the Lord used the generous giving of his people to meet that need. A final example from the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul is there encouraging the Corinthians to give toward a significant need that was occurring in Jerusalem as a result of a famine. He's encouraging the Corinthians to give, and he uses the example of the Macedonian churches. The great example of the generosity and the sacrificial giving of the Macedonian churches in giving to meet this need. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." Here was a large need in Jerusalem, and God used the faithful giving of his people to meet that need. This is the regular pattern that we see in the scriptures. So, taking all of these passages together, I just want to share with you this morning, in the time we have left, four principles that surface from these three important passages and examples of biblical giving. Four principles that surface. Four principles for biblical giving. The first is this. Biblical giving is to be proportional. Biblical giving is to be proportional. That means that we give according to our means. That means we give out of what the Lord has given to us. And He's given us everything. But we all don't have the same amount. Our bank accounts aren't the same. Our assets aren't the same. Our opportunities haven't been the same. God has blessed us all, but He's blessed us at different levels, entrusted to us differing levels of wealth according to His will and for His purposes. And likewise, giving is to be proportional, even as the wealth we have been entrusted with is proportional. We saw this in Exodus 35. The people gave according to what they had, oftentimes according to their own skill or their own trade. In 1 Chronicles 29 and the building of the temple, David, the king, he was a wealthy guy. He was rich. And he gave of his riches. He gave of his abundance. Not everyone was able to give as much as David gave, because not everyone was blessed with as much wealth as David was blessed. He was king of Israel, after all. Some gave a lot, others gave less. Some gave far less, but all gave according to their means. It was proportional giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3, Paul says that according to their ability, according to their ability, that is a proportional phrase. It was according to their ability, as they were able. And indeed, they gave beyond their ability. They really gave, in fact, more than they were able. But they all gave proportionally. In Acts chapter 11, we read of the historical setting of this famine that was taking place in Jerusalem. And in reference to the Christians at Antioch who learned of this need, of this collection being taken for the Christians in Jerusalem, they sent a gift to Jerusalem, the Christians at Antioch did. And it says in Acts 11:29, in proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. God always expects His church, His people, to give proportionately according to the means He has entrusted to them. We all don't give the same amount. We give proportionally. Biblical giving is proportional. And really, it's a beautiful picture and a practical outworking of the diversity in the body of Christ. All lend their hand to the effort. All are involved, but not all are involved at the same level. But all give, but each gives proportionate to their means. We are not all the same member of the body, but each member of the body does its part and contributes to the whole. All do not give the same amount, but all give proportionately from what the Lord has entrusted to their care. Now, just very practically, speaking of proportionality, some of you may be able and may be moved to give non-cash gifts. Financial experts tell us that the average person only has about 9% of their wealth in cash, in a checking account or a savings account or some other form. Most people have the bulk of their wealth in other assets. In real estate, or a business, or in stocks, or some other asset. And so when those people are moved to give, oftentimes the thinking is, well, I'll sell this asset, I'll sell this piece of real estate, and I'll give perhaps all the proceeds, or a portion of the proceeds, to a charity, to some worthy cause. And that's good and nice. But there are ways of giving and donating these kinds of assets, which will reduce your capital gains tax and maximize the value of your asset as well as the amount of your donation. We have people in our church, people who are experts at this. And I'd love for you to have a conversation with them. I've just told you everything I know about this, okay? So, and I probably got it wrong at some point, but this is real. And I'll give you their names. Will Stevens would be a great person to talk to. Tim Gunsully would be an excellent person to talk to. These people can help you not only with giving related to above and beyond, but with all your charitable giving. There's important information for those who give that they can maximize their gifts in this way and minimize their taxes, all legally, all provided by the tax law. So if you're interested in learning more about that, I'd be glad to connect you with people who can help you learn more about that. But giving, biblically, is always proportional to our means. Everyone participates, but everyone does not give the same amount. Second principle for biblical giving. Biblical giving is to be generous. Generosity is not determined by the amount of the gift. It goes back to that proportionality thing, right? Sacrifice is not determined by the size of the gift. It's determined by the proportionality piece, right? Biblical giving, though, is always generous giving. Generosity means that the gift goes beyond just a token gift. It is a giving that is sacrificial. It is giving until it hurts a little or even a lot. The people in Exodus 35 gave so much that they had to be told to stop giving. They were giving generously of their wealth. They kept on giving until the need was met. And finally, when the need was met, they said, okay, we've got enough. You can stop giving. 1 Chronicles 29, David says, who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? Lord, we don't deserve to be able to give so generously. For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. That's the spirit behind generosity. It is a recognition that everything we have has come from the Lord, and we're simply giving back, but a portion of his generosity to us. 1 Chronicles 29:16, O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name, it is from your hand and all is yours. This abundance that we've given has come to us, Lord, from your abundance to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul commends the Macedonian churches that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. They were generous. Despite their own present dire circumstances, these were not wealthy people. They were not wealthy churches. They were churches that were going through their own economic hardships. And yet, in the midst of their poverty, they gave. And they expressed generosity, liberality. Biblical giving is generous. Biblical giving is also to be purposeful. Purposeful. This means that we purpose in our heart the amount to give, what to give. It means that we are purposeful in contributing toward the goal, the meeting of a need. Exodus 35:5. Moses says, take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, Whoever has purposed in their hearts to give toward the meeting of this need, bring the contribution. Willingness of heart. 2 Corinthians 9:7, Paul says, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart. Giving purposefully. It also means, as the Macedonians did in 2 Corinthians 8:5, they first gave themselves to the Lord, realizing that a donation of financial help is really nothing in the grand scheme of things if we haven't first given of ourselves, surrendered ourselves to the Lord, acknowledge that all things belong to Him, that we are but stewards of what He has entrusted to us. That is purposeful giving. And then finally, fourthly, biblical giving is to be joyful. Joyful giving. 1 Chronicles 29:9, then the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly. They saw it in themselves as a mark of spiritual maturity that they were able to give so willingly. And they rejoiced as a result. For they made their offering to the Lord with a whole heart. And King David also rejoiced greatly. 2 Corinthians 8:2. Again, we see in the Macedonians that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Paul urges us to give not grudgingly or under compulsion, for the Lord loves a cheerful giver, one who gives with joy. Again and again in the Scriptures, we see that when a large need arose, the Lord used the generous giving of His people to meet that need. We believe we have a need, and it is a large need. The need is to relocate, and we believe that the Lord is going to use the generous giving of His people to meet this need. So we are asking you, the church body here at Austin Bluffs, to believe, to pray, and to give. We are asking you to pray intentionally, earnestly, about giving toward this need. We are asking each and every household that is a part of ABFC to give faithfully, generously, sacrificially toward this need, toward above and beyond. We're asking you to give proportionately. Not everyone will give the same amount. Some will be able to give more. There are some among us who have the gift of giving. The Lord has blessed you financially, and you are able to give a lot. Some of us will need to give smaller amounts, more incremental. But we can all give something. We can all give proportionately. And it's the entire body working together, giving of what the Lord has entrusted to us that the Lord will use. We're asking you to give generously. That is sacrificially. Sacrificial giving means that we do without something else. We might have used that money to purchase something else or to invest in something else. But instead of doing that, we give sacrificially. It might be something small that you sacrifice. It might be something big. But the Lord is honored when we give sacrificially. And we're asking that you give purposefully. We're asking you to pray about the amount to give. To take the next 2 to 3 weeks and seek the Lord. And ask the Lord to place the amount you should give on your heart. To lead you in that practical way. To think through your finances. To think through your situation. To think through how would this apply in my life, these principles. And then purpose in your heart to give that amount beginning in November. We're also asking you to be purposeful in giving gifts to above and beyond that are in addition to your regular giving. Your regular giving, undesignated giving, that is your regular giving to the general fund, and it supports the ministries of the church. It supports the pastors and their families. It supports our ministry staff, our part-timers. It also supports the missionaries that we partner with globally. So it's vital that we don't just reroute regular giving to above and beyond, but rather that we give in addition to our regular giving to above and beyond. If we simply reroute giving to above and beyond, present ministry will suffer. So we're asking you to give purposefully to above and beyond in addition to your regular giving. Finally, we're asking you to give joyfully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This opportunity for us as a church allows us to cheerfully give, to joyously give, and then to rejoice and see how God will provide. Believe he is able. Pray and ask him to do it. Give and see him do it through us. Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, for the examples in the scriptures that we see of your people moved to meet a need and how you use them to accomplish your purposes, to build the tabernacle and then the temple and then to meet a humanitarian crisis in Jerusalem. All different times in the history of redemption, all different circumstances, but again and again we see you use the same means, the faithful, generous, sacrificial, joyous giving of your people. We pray that you would do it again in our midst as we seek to be faithful to you, faithful to make disciples, faithful to minister to the people you bring our way, and to make room for more. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.